Heidi Xers, welcome to Market Scope for August 2003. This time around, we visit Boston, Massachusetts, and work our way up the FM dial with our guest host, Paul Burkhardt.
This is Market Scope on the FM side for Watertown, Massachusetts, right next to Boston. We begin 88.1 FM, WMBR, Cambridge. Here is 88.9 WERS from Emerson College in Boston.
The beef like an entree, frying your chunks in red sauce, hot like picante. And yeah, this sauce is made in New York City. So talk with me, walk with me, walk with me. I bet I splash mother like a shark with me. Keep selling dope to the dark.
Followed by 89.7 WGBH in Boston.
So yeah, I think he self-produces, and given the current state of the record industry, you know, it's no surprise a whole lot of people are producing their own work. There have been serious cutbacks to releases by new artists, and I think that that's one of the ways that folks are getting their music out there, is by developing their own label and developing their own projects and producing them.
Here is 90.3 WZBC at Boston College in Newton, Mass. Here is 90.9 WBUR for a little bit. Boston University Radio.
Here is again. Jumping in on the line, our satellite connection to Baghdad seems to be hiccuping once again. So while we're redialing, Dick, I wonder, Professor Baram, if you'd like to respond.
Say my view. There is absolutely no danger of Chalabi becoming another Saddam Hussein. He's a Democrat. I see another person who might become an Iraqi Saddam.
Here is WUMB, University of Massachusetts, Boston, 91.9, with a little bit of intermod from some of the big stations here.
Place.
92.9 WBOS, Brookline, Boston.
The savings really can be dramatic, Jen. For example, let's say you refinanced your house last year at a rate in the sixes. Well, if we can get you down into the fives, you could save anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000. Or pay off your house.
94.5 WJMN.
Indiana, Chi-Town, KC, Motown, Alabama.
WHRB, Harvard University in Cambridge. This is 96.9 WTKK, 96.9 FM Talk. That's what they call themselves.
We think they did the best job of any broadcast on television. However, when a former Fox engineer, guy who handles the satellite hookups for the Fox News Channel, is arrested by the feds for attempting to steal all these goods out of Iraq, bringing them into the United States in these, I guess, some type of crate. Don't you think that Fox might have wanted to say that a little bit earlier in the broadcast?
WBOT, Hot 97.7, Brockton, Boston, which is the hip-hop station, one of the two hip-hop stations here in Boston. The other one was 94.5 WJMN, which you just heard.
Eddie Mix 98.5 in your nighttime. Salute to the troop version of Three Doors Down When I'm Gone. That's you, our Mix listeners in there. You got Tad Bonvie, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, your last chance at the freeloader password for today. I've got your last chance freeloader update in just a couple. Here is your tadpole question for the next prize pack and a chance at Fleetwood Mac. It's from Stuff Magazine. Whether at work or at play, life can be more dangerous than you may think. Each year, over 11,000 people get hurt attempting to do this. Do what?
Is the answer spilling hot coffee?
There's something hot here, but it's not coffee. No, that's not it. Try back. It sounded like you just spilled the coffee. Hi, what are you thinking?
I had to change the oil in your car.
You mean a lube job?
Yeah.
No, well, not exactly, but you're closer.
All right. Hi!
Is that some kind of social judgment thing or something?
Is this Cat again?
Of course it is. Who the hell else would be answering my phone?
How you doing?
I'm okay. What are you thinking?
I say bicycle riding.
No, because unlike bicycle riding, where you can only get hurt if you fall off, this is a little bit different. Damn, I give great hints. 617-931-1234. Everybody's going, that was a hint? What kind of hint was that? It's Mix 98.5 in your nighttime. Good luck.
And now we have a little bit of 99.5 WKLB, which is kind of the country station out of Lowell in Boston.
Country 99.5 Reba, Little Rock, and Daryl Worley before that. Have you forgotten? The new Billboard chart is out. I said I had a pretty good feeling that Daryl will get into the top five on the album chart, and it just came out today. He is in a number four, 214,000 copies in his first week. So obviously the biggest hit of his career. By the way, the number one album this week, Kelly Clarkson, the first American Idol winner. Only did that album take to get made like 6 months ago. No longer than that. Anyway, so everybody's happy. What's going on? How are you?
I'm great. I'm on vacation. I'm back home. I'm on leave. I'm in the military. And you guys have the best conversation around.
Thank you.
I want to let you guys know that. You guys rock.
Where are you on leave from?
I'm stationed on the USS Eisenhower down in Norfolk, Virginia.
All right, what can I do to increase your pleasure on your vacation?
I think it's Shania Twain. It's I'm not sure the name of the song. It's off her new album, like I'll Always Love You or something like that.
The new song, Forever and For Always.
Yeah, that's the one.
What's your name?
My name is Chad.
Chad, what's your rank?
I am an AO2. I'm an E5 in the U.S. Navy.
100.7 WZLX, Boston Classic Rock.
ZLX tradition that combines the power of numbers with the power of classic rock, resulting in a sonic avalanche of three songs in a row from your favorite ZLX bands and artists. Another pleasant way to get swept away in the no-repeat workday. Three for Thursday, every week between Wednesday and Friday on 100.7 WZLX, Boston's classic rock.
Okay, this station is 101.7 WFNX, Lynn, Boston.
You say that everything sounds the same. Then you go by them. There's no excuses, my friend. Let's push things forward.
Here is 102.5 WCRB, the classical station in Boston, from Waltham.
Thank you.
WODS, Oldies 103.3. Here is 104.1 WBCN, alternative rock and also the home of the New England Patriots, which is the only time I listen to that station, but that's an editorial comment.
There's been a rumor floating around that the guys in the band, guy and girl, I should say, the duo known as the White Stripes, have said that the Elephant CD, their current one, will be their last. There was also another rumor saying the one after this one's going to be their last. That is not true whatsoever. Jack White just came out and said he's kind of pissed because some magazine misquoted him and wrote that. True that, Melissa.
So much confusion about that band. Ex-husband, ex-wife, brother, sister, last CD,
They're still
knows?
Trying to front with the brother and sister thing.
Now more than ever, too. They must have said it three times
Sunday
night.
There's paperwork out there that proves they're not brothers and sisters.
I know.
It just angers me.
Let them just have their fun, Deke.
I guess so.
Anyway, if you aren't lucky enough to be at that show Sunday night, we're going to bring it to you. This Saturday night, 8 o'clock, we will rebroadcast the White Stripes recorded at the Orpheum. Plus, Nick Carter did an exclusive interview with said
yes.
brother and sister team.
Said brother.
We'll play that for you. 5-hour guarantee. This is STB BCN, the Deke and Melissa Show. We are also, by the way, brother and sister.
Come here, baby. Give me a kiss.
Classic hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. 105.7 WROR.
I'm nothing to say.
Every hour, 40 minutes of non-stop music. Classic hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. 105.7 WROR.
This is WMJX FM in Boston.
Magic 106.7. We have a few people working the night shift tonight. A special hello to Dale and Terry. Here's something nice for you on Bedtime Magic.
Kiss 108.
Carson Daly doing your top 10 requests. Jennifer Lopez has a gazillion movies lined up. It looks like she's added two more to the pile. By the way, has anybody seen how tan Ben Affleck is? And isn't it just a little weird? He's like super tan. All right, anyway, word has it that Jennifer signed on for the fourth Austin Powers movie. Supposedly, it's called For Your Thighs Only. I just assume Jennifer will be playing the shagadelic chick that Heather Graham and Beyonce Knowles have once played. Although, we could be very, very early on this, because I don't think Mike Myers has even written the new Austin Powers movie yet. He's been so busy with The Cat in the Hat, which comes out in November, and Shrek 2, which we'll see next year. As for Jennifer Lopez, there's also talk that she and Ben Affleck want to remake Casablanca. The original is considered one of the best films ever made, so they have a lot to live up to. So who knows, if they get the right director to sign on, they might be able to pull off a very respectable remake. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, you can see Jen and Ben in Tough Love. That's out in August, then Jersey Girl in November, and perhaps a wedding somewhere in between. All right, got the big three coming up. It's most requested. Thanks for listening.
Carson Daly, most requested.
All right, you're always requesting songs. It is time now for me to do some requesting of my own. Are you ready? I request a better set of headphones, a CD that does not skip on the best part of the song, and a case of Starburst, original fruit flavors for those writing this down. I'd even settle for one pack. I expect nothing from you. This show is all about you. Well, at least do me this favor. Run out right now and get yourself a pack of Starburst, and then tell me what it's like. You know where to find me. I'll be right here, stuck with these skipping CDs and lousy headphones, but I'll be happy for you. Starburst, isn't life juicy?
New Winter Fresh Thin Ice Drips. Icy Cool Breath in 3, 2.
By Kelsey, Winter Fresh Thin Ice, it's crazy cool. And the best thing about it, you can have it in school. If the teacher smells it and says, spit out your gum, all you gotta do is just stick out your tongue. This new Thin Ice makes your mouth icy quick. That's why Winter Fresh Thin Ice is always my pick.
Well, folks, what you've heard is WXKS FM 107.9, Medford, Boston. And that was Kiss 108. And I hope you've enjoyed this market scope into the Boston area. And with that, this is Paul Burkhart returning you to Phil Wayne. Take it away, Phil.
Thanks, Paul, for such a thorough job from that other famous Beantown. Have you driven Lucille crazy with that jingle CD yet? Actually, Lucille loves radio too and enjoyed the jingle CD also that we sent to Paul for doing this Market Scope. So if you love radio and like those classic jingles, why not send us a Market Scope? Pop it in the mail to me, Phil Wayne, at 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio 43302-8730. I'm sure our membership will appreciate your contribution. And now, the DX Audio Service presents Musings from the Members.
Check it out.
This is Musings of the Members.
Listen up.
Call the DX Audio Service action line at 419-224-1609. 24 hours a day.
Hello, Fred and DX Audio Service members. This is Lucille Burkhart from Watertown with a change in radio. I think that there should be more local programming, case in point. When you try to call on a network show, there is no one in a local studio, for example, WWZN. We are fans of NASCAR racing. We had a question on that, and there was no one around to talk to. I can't see in saving money if it's not going to be enjoyable. And that is my muse. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is George. I just wanted to give you my feedback on the audio radio service. I think it's a great program. I think the tapes are great. I love them. And I just got my first one today. My name is George Washington. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 2024 West Eckerd Place in Milwaukee. And if anybody wants to call me, they can, if they have flat rate long distance or whatever. Number is 414-461-9710. That's 414-461-9710. If anybody wants to call me and talk, because I'm really interested in the radio, I'm a totally blind person, and of course this doesn't really make any difference. I'm just telling a little bit about myself. And I do love radio. I love DXing a lot.
This is Tim Hendel. On the July DX Audio Service, we had some responses to the question, what would you do if you were in charge of the FCC? And some people mentioned different kinds of programming, more music, more this, less of that. I would just like to mention that the FCC does not control program content such as music or talk or sports or whatever. The FCC only controls technical standards such as what frequency you're on, your power, your modulation, your antenna, whether the rules for IDing the station, simulcasting, all those kind of things. But as opposed to as saying music versus sports or news or something, the FCC doesn't have anything to do with that. Finally, Fred, I would like to pass along my condolences on the passing of your father. My mother passed away in 2001, and yeah, it's a hard thing when that happens, so accept my condolences, please.
Hello, this is Mike Blank. I would make a few changes if I was in charge of the FCC. One would be I'd get rid of all stations under 10,000 watts after sunset. Second, I would restore the clear channels and probably spread the stations of the 50,000 or higher through the whole spectrum so there wouldn't be overlap and people wouldn't have to protect knolls. And I would have a few experimental super stations maybe in Europe. I think there's 600,000. Maybe WLW, Cincinnati. WWL, New Orleans. WSM, Nashville. KDKA, WBZ, stations like that, 600,000 to see how it worked out. But there's too much splatter, too many graveyard stations, and it's just not good at all.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Fred, I'm very sorry to hear about your father. And Canonis Chuck, I'm very glad to hear that you will be in Dallas. I'm looking forward to having a nice chat with you again. I enjoyed your article about Red Mutlow, and I hope maybe you'll have something for us about Vince Lloyd on the next tape. I remember Vince with the Cubs. Him and Lou Boudreau also did some Blackhawk hockey on WGN in years back. As an addendum to what we talked about on the last tape with what I would do FCC-wise, I would also block out iBox. That'll get us up more to speed about the problems that we're facing today with radio, possibly. If we get a station in Toronto on 1610, I understand that it will have a Latin format. I've got my arrangements made. I'm coming to Dallas. I'm looking forward to visiting with all of you and having a very wonderful time.
Thanks, Wayne. And George, Tim, Mike, everyone on the DX Audio Service who has participated in our musings to the members. It's always interesting to find out what's happening in your little part of the world. And speaking of finding out things, I'd like to ask a question for our next musings that we've had on our email list. Every week we have a question of the week on our email list. And I'd like to ask this question because it was really interesting to see the replies on the email. The question is, what are some of your other hobbies other than radio? Some of the things that you like to do in your spare time? You know, for example, myself, I like to collect the 50s, 60s, and 70s music. And if I get something that's a little bit bad in quality, I throw it into the audio editor and try to clean it up and save it on CD for posterity. But another thing I like to do is play around with electronics and build things, design antennas and transmitters and you name it. So anyways, that's some of the other hobbies that I have. We'd like to hear from you on our next edition of the DX Audio Service. Just before we went to press here on the DX Audio Service, I got an email from Wally down in Texas, and he writes, as many of you know, the annual National Radio Club Convention will be held in Dallas-Fort Worth August 29th through August 31st. If you'd like to register via credit card, you can do so on the web at www.nrcdxas.org/convention/03nrccon. While tours are not finalized just yet, you can expect several interesting ones, including the recording studios of TM Century Incorporated, who graciously donated jingles to the club's WNRC and to the DX Audio Service last year, and WFAA Television. I got a break from Wally's letter just to make a personal note here. If you're going to be at the convention, those tours are going to be fantastic. TM Century Studios are absolutely the best in the nation. And, of course, you've heard some of the stuff that they've put out, and you know that's going to be a real good tour. And if you want to see a class operation TV station, the WFAA TV tour is going to be the one. Now, let me get back to his letter. Of course, there are going to be some radio facility tours as well. John Kellerman is also trying to put together some informational seminars about the hobby. Now, since the banquet, guest speaker, auction are an important part of our event, I'll mention this as well. We're meeting in Texas, so barbecue will be on the menu with all the traditional fixings. The guest speakers, yes, there's two, should prove to be interesting. First is George Gimark, who hosts the Lost Tapes program heard on KRLD 1080 and the Texas State Network on Saturday nights. He's not heard on KRLD if there's a baseball conflict, but is still on TSM. George will talk about his show, which is quite unique, and about his two books, Hollywood Hi-Fi Volume 1 and 2. After George, Steve Eberhard, who is responsible for the History of KLIF website, that's www.historyofklif.com, will talk about Cliff Radio, the legacy of its founder Gordon McLendon, and the incredible influence of Mighty 1190 that it had not only in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, but also pioneer top 40 radio in the United States. The auction, if you received your DX audio service in July, then you know about the personalized TM Century jingle that will be auctioned to the highest bidder. They really will sing your name there. I've been stockpiling some stuff week by week. Every radio promotion director in town is probably going to be having his arm twisted by me. But if you have anything you'd like to donate, we need it quickly. Send your auction items to Wally Walro, W-A-W-R-O, W-F-A-A-TV, 606 Young Street, that's Y-O-U-N-G Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202. Please include your phone number or email address so I can let you know that the package arrived safely. Also write NRC Auction someplace on the box or the package. No junk, please. But anything of interest to our members will be welcomed, such as radio shirts, radios themselves, antennas, you name it. So get your registration to Bill Hale and get yourself registered at the hotel. Hopefully we can get 70 members together for the club's 70th anniversary. I'm optimistic enough to think we can. Bill, John, and I are looking forward to meeting you next month in Dallas, Texas. Signed, Wally Walro. On our science and technology corner, I thought I'd read some articles that appeared in various newspapers about some of the consolidation that has recently happened due to the Federal Communications Commission. The entire script that I have is well over 4 hours, so if you'd like to read that, it is available on the web at www.nrcdxas.org/wasup, W-H-A-Z-U-P, and it's the August 03 script. The following was a op-ed piece written by Mort Zuckerman, who is chairman and co-publisher of the New York Daily News. Three anonymous political appointees to the Federal Communications Commission have delivered a body blow to American democracy. Large media companies are to be allowed to buy up more TV stations and newspapers, becoming more powerful and reaping a financial bonanza. Astonishingly, the Federal Communications Commission has done this with little public review, without analyzing the consequences, and without the American public getting a dime in return for their public airwaves. Under the Federal Communications Commission deal, big media companies must make no commitment to provide better news or even unbiased news, digital local news coverage, and children's programming. In fact, the new rules dramatically worsen opportunities for local news coverage, for diversity of views, and for competition. The public be damned was a robber baron slogan from the Gilded Age. It seems to be just what the Federal Communications Commission is saying. Consider the enormity of the changes. The commissioners removed a ban on broadcasting and newspaper cross-ownership. They raised the national cap on audience reach by station group owners to 45%. They allowed ownership of two stations in more markets, and even three in a handful of markets. But there's more. But you get the idea. These FCC rules allow new merger possibilities without any public interest review. The details are complicated, but basically one company can now own UHF TV stations in 199 of the nation's 210 TV markets, which is pretty much the equivalent of owning every station in every TV market except the state of California. This means that a single company could influence the elections of 98 U.S. senators, 382 members of the House, 49 governors, 49 state legislatures, and countless local races. Employing another strategy now allocated by the Federal Communications Commission is that the same company could own VHF stations in every TV market in 38 states, with the power to influence elections in 76 U.S. Senate races, 182 House races, 38 gubernatorial races, and 38 state legislative races, along with countless local races. There are other scenarios, but again, you get the idea. Easing the rules on cross-ownership means that in many local markets, one company could own its leading daily newspaper, often its only newspaper, its top-rated TV station, the local cable company, and 5 to 8 radio stations. Previously, no TV and newspaper mergers were allowed in the same market except when a firm was failing. Now, the merger of the dominant newspaper and TV station could create local news monopolies in 200 markets serving 98% of Americans. One defense of this outrage offered by big media companies is the diversity provided by the web. Well, yes, but does anyone really think that the internet is anything like an organized political or media power, much less a counterweight to the clique of billion-dollar media behemoths? The good news is that the nation, finally, is waking up. The Federal Communications Commission has received hundreds of thousands of protests. Congressmen, both Democrat and Republicans, are alarmed. So are groups as diverse as Common Cause, the National Rifle Association, and the Screen Actors Guild. John Roberts in the Chicago Tribune deplores the, quote, blatant, disingenuous, if not dishonest, explanations being given by FCC Chairman Michael Powell and his supporters for their actions, unquote. No prizes for guessing who supports the commission, the major media conglomerates that have coincidentally spent more than $80 million on lobbying, plus more than $25 million in political contributions in the past 3 years, and stand to gain enormously from this. Regardless of their political ideology, we cannot risk non-election media bosses having inappropriate local, regional, and national power. The Federal Communications Commission was created to ensure that the public interest was served by media companies that use our airwaves. Everyone is entitled to a mistake sometimes, but the FCC is abusing the privilege. Congress must act now and reverse the Federal Communications Commission's irresponsible new rules. And that was a op-ed piece by Mort Zuckerman, who is chairman and co-publisher of the New York Daily News. Federal Communications Commission Media Rules Targeted. This article appeared in the Washington Times. A bipartisan group of 35 U.S. senators introduced legislation Tuesday to override the decision last month by the Federal Communications Commission to loosen restrictions on media ownership. The Federal Communications Commission last month voted to ease ownership restrictions that some called outdated in an era of fast-changing technology, despite complaints that the action would concentrate media power in a few hands. The changes would lift the national broadcast cap or reach of any single company to 45% of the national market from 35%, and let TV, radio, and newspaper companies buy each other more freely. The Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee voted last month to overturn the Federal Communications Commission decision and to reinstitute the 35% cap and limit cross-ownership deals in all but the smallest markets. Feeling the need for more emphatic expression of their displeasure and hoping to force a speedy Senate vote on the matter, the senators agreed to sponsor the one-paragraph resolution. It says that, quote, Congress disapproves the rules submitted by the Federal Communications Commission relating to broadcast media ownership, unquote. Lawmakers said at a press conference that they hope to bring the matter to a vote by the end of the month. quote, I think that the Federal Communications Commission in this case clearly made a decision that's going to lead to more concentration, less diversity, fewer choices in the opportunity for people to hear or view or read the news, unquote, said Senator Trent Lott, Mississippi Republican, one of the sponsors of the resolution. The relatively unusual tactic of introducing a resolution means that the FCC rules changes will come up for a quicker than usual vote before the full Senate, possibly at the end of this month. Quote, it'll force the Federal Communications Commission to redo it. It doesn't leave you with any rules. It just says, we disapprove of the rules, and the Federal Communications Commission has to do it again and get it right, unquote, said Senator Byron Dorgan, North Dakota Democrat. Quote, we are moving to roll back one of the most complete cave-ins to corporate interests I've ever seen by what is supposed to be a federal regulatory agency, unquote, Mr. Dorgan said. 28 Democrats and 7 Republicans, including Mr. Lott of Mississippi and Kay Bailey Hutchinson of Texas, signed the petition. Under the rarely used 1996 Congressional Review Act, which was pushed by then-House Speaker Newt Gingrich, only 30 senators' signatures are needed to force a full Senate vote, Mr. Dorgan said. The Federal Communications Commission, led by Chairman Michael Powell, approved rule changes on June 2nd that made it easier for companies such as Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation to acquire newspapers and TV stations. The rules, which were opposed by groups such as the Consumer Union and the National Rifle Association, got more than 1 million letters of criticism from individuals. A Federal Communications Commission spokesman declined to comment. Mr. Powell said that the new rules adopted to the media landscape now include competition from the Internet, hundreds of cable operators, and satellite broadcasters. Quote, the sponsors have a good chance of getting it passed in the House, unquote, said former Republican Thomas Bigley, a Virginia Republican, who was House Commerce Panel Chairman from 1995 to 2001. But I don't see anything passing the House because of opposition from the leadership and the fact that it's not much of a hot-button issue out there. Senator John McCain, an Arizona Republican, is leading the other Senate push to roll back the FCC media ownership proposal. Senate Majority Leader, Tennessee Republican Bill Frist, has not said when the full Senate will consider the panel's bill, if at all. Quote, the McCain committee legislation could sit on the calendar forever if Frist didn't want to bring it to a vote, unquote, said Mr. Dorgan's spokesman Bill Prade. But the full Senate has to consider our congressional veto. The Senate is likely to consider the resolution by September, Mr. Prade said. If the Senate passes the veto, it automatically goes to the full House for a vote, he said. President Bush, whose administration has endorsed the Federal Communications Commission rules, would have to sign the congressional veto for it to become law. Now let's change directions and talk about talk radio. This article appeared in the Dallas Star-Telegram newspaper. It's written by Bud Kennedy, entitled, Local Chatter Matters Most, Talk Radio Listeners Declare. Talk radio took a jolt to the ears last week, and this time it wasn't over peddling mystical air purifiers or miracle weight loss pills. Nearly 1,000 listeners in 100 cities finally got to sound off without waiting for open phone lines between January and April this year. Their message? Local talk radio is better than any network big mouth. And they don't care all that much about the political angle. Mostly, they tune in for a good radio show. In this 15th year of the AR radio era, that's after Rush, it turns out that talk radio success is mostly about entertainment, not about molding minds for a national political machine or rallying voters to rise up and take back government. More than 600 of the 1,000 listeners, 61%, named some local talk host as their favorite over any national host. Yeah, over Rush, or even Howard Stern or Dr. Laura. In this market, that's no surprise. Local talk has ruled radio here for 25 years, from the days when Kevin McCarthy dominated morning ratings to today's Mark Davis Daily Roundtable on ABC affiliate WBAP 820 AM. As it turns out, nearly two-thirds of the listeners like their local host, any local host, better than some canned network ham. The message in this study is that local shows ultimately define a radio station, said Rob Ballen of Austin. He's president of the Austin-based market research company Benchmark, and also a food writer and occasional fill-in talk host on that city's KLBJ 590 AM. The temptation for radio managers is to fill up a mostly syndicated lineup of shows. My advice is to resist that temptation. The hometown host keeps listeners hooked on the station, he said, and also helps listeners remember the call letters. They identify a station by the local host or the talent, he said. What makes them remember WBAP or KKDA? Mainly, they remember the host. That's good news for Davis or KKDA's Marilyn Hicks, a judge and a firebrand host of her own Sunday morning talk show. Mostly, the network hosts are old news and becoming older as their two similar shows saturate every market. No surprise, Limbaugh, a bombastic showman, is the number one host. His name was familiar to 93% of talk radio listeners, with the other 7% presumably living in some fringe of Rush-free zone. But Stern, MSNBC talk host Don Imus, and Laura Schlesinger were better known than any of the syndicated spares. And the accurately named Michael Savage is more famous, notorious, than Fox host Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. Next came a network screamer, who is now also a local resident, Mike Gallagher. The latter four are all political conservatives. No surprise, since 43% of radio talk listeners in the survey lined up to the right, from the 35% 10 years ago. I'm surprised even that 20% agreed to be identified as liberals. Ballen's survey also made talk hosts hit the hold button with this headline Friday on Business Wire: Liberal radio network might be feasible. I don't know where that came from, Ballen said, laughing. They've been wearing me out over it. That's not exactly what the study says. What it says is that liberals, by 72%, don't think their views are fairly represented, Ballen said. Not only that, 43% of moderates don't think that the talk show's views are balanced. As if anyone would listen to a balanced talk show. One conclusion is that the entertaining, if liberal, talk show host might be able to stir a share of the radio audience the same way conservatives do. Emphasis on entertaining. This question is an old one by now, but some folks still get confused. Is talk radio news or showbiz? No question about it, it's showbiz, Ballen said. The day it becomes journalism is the day the ratings go to sleep. First and foremost, talk radio is entertainment. And that's regardless of whether the entertainment is conservative or something else. What counts is that it's local. Also, I have an article here that's radio-related, but kind of strange. It's titled, Safety Cast Signs Deal, by Devin Stewart of American City Business Journals, Incorporated. Jacksonville's SafetyCast has signed its first distribution contract, a three-year, $3.3 million deal with Miami-based Ander Police Supply. SafetyCast makes radio transmitters that can be installed in emergency vehicles, railroad locomotives, and school buses. The devices transmit an alert tone and a verbal message over all AM and FM radio frequencies, warning motorists that an emergency vehicle is nearby. Ander, a leading distributor of public safety products in South Florida and South America, agreed to buy at least 3,000 of SafetyCast devices at $1,100 each. This is an exciting piece of technology, said Ander Police Supply President Andres Deligan. Each time I speak of it, we generate a great deal of enthusiasm and interest. SafetyCast officials are trying to drum up more business through meetings with a variety of possible interested parties, including the U.S. Air Force, and in demonstrations including the International Association of Police Chiefs Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. Hopefully, we'll have a thriving enterprise here in Jacksonville in the not-so-too-distant future, said SafetyCast CEO Mark Foss, who projects $70 million in annual revenues in 5 years. Foss's big regret is that his company's technology wasn't up and running 6 months ago to aid in the war in Iraq. It wasn't ready because we didn't have the funding source, Foss said. Everything accelerates when you have a little fuel in the tank. That extra fuel recently came by way of Jacksonville Inman Company, an Ortega investment firm that landed financial commitments needed to move SafetyCast into the testing and production phase. SafetyCast also aims to penetrate foreign markets. With a simple chip exchange, the technology can be switched to any language, an important selling point for Ander's South American markets. Now, my only question is whether or not I got to fight with my sheriff department or fire department to get a QSL or verification of my reception. I know there's a lot of techs that listen to our magazine, so we have a rather geeky item here. Where record speeds came from. Ever wonder why the first successful disc phonograph record ran at 78 revolutions per minute? Well, a posting in one of the audio remailers explains it this way. Up until the 1920s, recordings were made at a variety of speeds, from 75 to 84 RPMs and sometimes outside this range. The minimum accepted speed was governed by the quality of the recording from the innermost grooves of the record. By trial and error, the speed was found to be around 78 to 80 RPMs. The speed of records is based on the American Electricity AC standard of 60 Hz. When engineers wanted to standardize the speed of recording equipment in the studios, they started using synchronous electric motors. These are motors that are locked onto the 60 Hz power and run precisely at 3600 RPM. If you use a simple gear ratio, then 3600 divided by 46 is 78.26 RPM. And all other phonograph record speeds came from the same source as well. 3600 divided by 80 gave us the popular 45 RPM record that helped make the rock and roll revolution. 3600 divided by 108 is responsible for the LP, 33 and a third RPM record, and divide by 216 made the somewhat rare 16 and two-thirds RPM discs. Of course, most vinyl albums have been replaced by digital compact discs, but the history of groove discs is an interesting one, and now you know the rest of the story.
National Radio Club.
I know I don't make a very good Paul Harvey, do I? I'd like to let you know about some get-togethers. First of all, the 10th annual Madison Get-Together for DXers and Radio Enthusiasts will be Saturday, August 16th, beginning at 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time. This year's hosts are National Radio Club members Bill and Nina Dvorak at 501 Algoma Street in Madison, Wisconsin, 53704-4812. You can call them at area code 608-244-5497 for more information. And this is an all-band event that last year drew 26 DXers, including six from the National Radio Club. Don't forget Big D in 2003, the 70th anniversary of the National Radio Club. It's going to be August 29th through August 31st. It's going to be in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas at the Holiday Inn Select DFW Airport South at 4440 Airport Highway, Irving, Texas. And the zip code is 75062. The telephone number is 1-800-360-2242 or area code 972-399-1010. Room rates are $69 single or double occupancy only. Rates are guaranteed through Thursday, August 28th through Monday, September 1st. Make your reservations by August 15th. Registration is $45 per member, $70 per member and spouse. Mail your registrations to Bill Hale at 6124 Roaring Springs Drive, North Richland Hills, Texas, 76180-5552, or you can go to www.nrcdxas.org, click on Convention, and register using PayPal. If you have any auction items, be sure to get them into Wally, and he needs them as soon as possible. And that, my friends, puts a wrap on this edition of the DX Audio Service for August 2003. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff just prior to the National Radio Club Convention. This tape will be mailed out on the 29th of July, 2003. Remember, get out and support radio. Ugh!